If you have your Bibles, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and let's read together verses 16, 17, and 18 from John chapter 3. When you get there, say amen. Now I'm going to read from the King James Version, and you can read along or from your Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. I like to read this every now and then. Feel impressed to do it today. Psalm 119, 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." The Amplified, it says, "The entrance and unfolding of your words give light." Who unfolds? It's the Holy Spirit. He reveals. He unfolds. He gives light and illumination to the words that we allow to enter our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to John chapter 16. We're in John. Let's turn over to John 16. And let's look at verses 12 through 15. Our desire is that the leadings of the Lord become clearer and more distinct. That's my desire. We know him. And because you are a new creature in Christ, he lives in you. And John chapter 16 and verse 12, this is from the King James. It says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." So you can see here, he has number one for me, he has many things yet to say to us. There's many things he wants to share with us. And the only way that's going to come about is if we're listening. And we're paying attention. There's many things he wants to share. You know, when I think about what has been shared with this ministry through the years by Kenneth Copeland and others, him in particular said in 2003 to the pastors, he said, "You've just finished the foundation of this ministry. And it's taken all these years." Now that was in 2003. The ministry started in 1980. So now our rapid, fast minds, that would be 23 years. Now you think, wow, 23 years and you're just now finishing the foundation. But the Spirit of God gave clarity and said, the reason it took so long I'm not going to read it. I'm just sharing the highlights of that prophecy, that prophetic word. So the reason it took that long is because of what it's going to have to support. So that means that some ministries, not all, but some, have very deep foundations because of what's going to be built on top. You know, when you look at large skyscrapers, they go down maybe 10 stories below ground because of what's built on top of it. But then you take a little two-story house, they have a very shallow foundation. Nothing wrong. That's the assignment. It's a house. I got a skyscraper. That's all that's needed, right? So the assignment that God has, he raised up this church, he raised up this house, and he said it took that long. So because of that, you may say, well, what's your point, Pastor? My point is that he has yet many things to show us and to say to us if we're paying attention. If we make ourselves available to listen, or are we just busy about life? See. But God has many things to say to us, and it says, now again, here he says, because you can't bear them. That just means he meant, in today's English, he might say, because you can't handle it. Well, they weren't born again at this point and filled with the Holy Ghost. We are. We're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. We can handle it. And he says here, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. He not only will guide us, it says, whatsoever he hears, he speaks. And he will show us things to come. That means things to come in our own personal life and things to come here. And he has in a measure. But I believe he wants to say more and to reveal more, because he's building the ministry house on top of this foundation. So what does he do? He guides the Spirit of truth. He guides us into what? All truth. So he guides us into all truth. He speaks and he shows us. He reveals. So these are three things that the Spirit of God does. He guides us into all truth. He speaks to us. And he shows us things to come. And I'm just going to highlight some scripture here. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, what does it say? But it is written, eye hath not seen, ear is not heard, all the things, neither is entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit. Hallelujah. For his Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God hath revealed. So he'll show us, he'll guide us, he'll speak to us. And we have to believe that, even when it doesn't feel like it and it doesn't look like it. The Word of God says he does. He guides us into all truth. He speaks to us and he shows us things to come. We should not be in the dark concerning things in our life, your family, your children, family members. It shouldn't be, oh my God, what am I going to do? He shows you things to come. You should know. And you say, well, I don't know. Well, Do you walk by sight or do you walk by faith? See, we need to change. We just talked about a series of lessons on the faith it takes. Faith in God's word, faith activates the power of God. And so do I talk and say the things that I'm experiencing, or do I talk and release faith in God's word? Because God will then begin through his spirit, by his power, he will bring to pass that which you speak. Stop saying he doesn't speak to me. Stop saying I don't know. Stop saying I don't know this or I don't understand. He said, Jesus said, the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. He will speak to us and show us things to come. Do you believe that? I believe that. Even when I don't understand certain things, I'm not going to say, I don't understand that. I'm going to say, the Spirit of God shows me things to come. We all should know. Amen. You know, when you think about this, the world doesn't have a problem when we say we pray to God. Sinners will get up and say, I said a prayer to God. Nobody has a problem with that. But when we start saying God speaks to me, they want to label you nutty. Right? No, God speaks to me. And we ought to be bold about proclaiming it. Not only do I speak to God, but he speaks to me. His spirit lives in me, and he guides me into all the truth. He guides me and leads me in every choice that I make in life. Amen. See, we ought to say, let's say that, I am a son of God, and I hear from God. See. Say it again. I am a son, and I hear from God. See, I hear from God. Amen. We know him. John 14, 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Why do we know him? He lives in me. We know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Well, he is in me. And I know him. You know him. Let's turn over to John 10:3. See, it's good to just take time and meditate on these scriptures, because sometimes people, their own mouth and what's in their heart. You know, what does it say in Proverbs chapter 4? It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Sometimes we set boundaries in our life. Death and life comes out of the mouth. And sometimes we don't give God something to work with, faith-filled words, so that he can work in our lives. Did you get to John 10? John chapter 10, and let's look at verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he does what? He leads them. And when he putteth forth his own sheep and goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now look at verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You know his voice. And when you hear it, you follow. You obey. You say, "Yes, Lord." Hallelujah. Now we're going to look at we're there. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 for a minute. I want you to look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and" what? "The communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." So that word there, communion, it means, it implies intimacy, fellowship. So there's a communion with the Holy Ghost. We know his voice. He lives in us. It would do us good. Being led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to say this, it takes discipline. Yes. It's a discipline in that you need to get up when you don't feel like it. How many feel perky and wonderful when they get up in the morning? That's what I figured. Not most of us. But like, you want to pull the sheets over your head and spend another 5 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is. But it would do you good when you first open your eyes, no matter how you feel, to just say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, I know you live in me. Thank you for guiding me today. Thank you for leading me into all truth. Thank you for speaking to me today. Thank you for living in me. I know you." Begin to say that. How many are married in here? I'll say it in this way, sleep in the same bed. How many of you wake up in the morning, I'm not looking for any show of hands, but wake up and go, "I don't know you"? That wouldn't be too good, would it? No. In other words, sometimes you don't even have to say, "I know you." But you know them because you have intimate relationship with that person. And you begin to maybe say good morning, or you say something pleasant to that person. But because there's communion, there's intimacy, there's fellowship. You don't just jump out of bed, ignore the person like they don't even exist. Now, maybe you do, but you should change that. Because it will enhance your fellowship and your relationship. But you understand my point. Just trying to make a point here that how much closer do we have in a relationship? The Holy Spirit lives in us. He's real. And he desires our communion and fellowship. And so it's just a good idea that when we wake up, as we go through our day, that we fellowship with him. I'm not talking about, it's fine to have time where you spend time quiet, but if you don't have that and you're in the busyness of the day, you can still purpose to say, "I know you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for guiding me. I'm talking to you." He knows our thoughts, even if you don't voice them. When you set your heart towards him and your mind towards him, You know, how many of you, I've had it many a times, your mind is on something, he knows what you're thinking. And it's like somebody reads your mail and starts talking to you and you go, oops, sorry. Or he'll answer something on your heart and you didn't even voice it to him. He knows your heart. So how much more should we turn our hearts towards him in the busyness of the day? Right? That's communion. That's fellowship. And so this fellowship that we have becomes more intimate. It becomes where he speaks to you things that sometimes you weren't even asking. He'll guide you, direct you in the affairs of life as we seek him. But you know him, see? You know him. Hallelujah. So he speaks, he lives in us, he speaks, we hear his voice. Now, the things that we're coming into, you know, the Spirit of God, let's put it this way, when we, the things that he wants to share with us, even from the Word of God, they're not going to be mentally acquired. They're going to be discerned by his Spirit. They're going to be revealed by his Spirit. We can't be carnally minded. We can't be, it says that we need to be spiritually minded if we're going to receive spiritual things. Something, you know, sometimes we don't talk about this much. The Spirit of God does direct us in many things. But let me ask this question. Sometimes God is waiting on us to make a decision, make a choice. See, God puts things in our hands to manage. And yes, God does lead us and direct us, but it says he leads us. Let me ask this question. If you're being led by something, by the Spirit of God, just like a traffic light, if you don't get a yellow or red, what does it mean? What does green mean? Right. So if there's something that I begin to move on and I'm going in this direction, if I don't get a yellow or a red, what does that mean? Keep going. That's being led. And sometimes we're sitting waiting, God, give me a direction, give me a direction. He says, start moving. And I'll guide you and lead you. If you don't get a yellow or a red, it means keep going. Sometimes we're just sitting, waiting, and he says, get up and go. Is that the truth? I'm going to give you some scripture where that's concerned. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're all kind of putting this together, a hearing from God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 7. See, now we always, when we receive offerings or we receive something, a gift or a love offering for someone, you know, you always hear us say, well, ask the Holy Spirit what you should give. Do what he says. That's true. But then what does it also say? What does verse 7 say? Did it say the Holy Ghost? What did it say? So that means you had to make a choice. You had to make a decision as you purposed in your heart, as you decided. Now, yes, he may give you a special amount, or he may give you an amount to give. But if he doesn't, what does it mean? Keep moving. You decide what to give. See, too often we're like, Holy Ghost, give me a number, give me a number, give me a number, give me a number. And he's saying, you decide. You decide. You purpose in your heart what you want to give. This is not hard, because you know him. I'm going to read these. You don't have to turn there. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever the Holy Ghost desires. You desire. When you pray, what? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Here's another one. James 4:3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, because you consume it upon your own lust. Who's asking? But does that also mean you could ask and not ask amiss? Yes. You ask. And if you don't get a specific green, a yellow or red, what does it mean? Keep going. It means it's okay. I saw some of you looking like, this sounds different. No, it's easy. Because you know him. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of his heart. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Now, I'm going to say it this way. There's a couple of different ways here. One way, God puts his desires in your heart. And two, the other way is you have desires. He gives you the desires of your heart. Amen. So there may be some desires that you have. You need to what? Ask. He already knows what your desire is. Now, he may put a desire in your heart that's his desire. But then there may be a desire you have. Isn't that not true? There may be some desire you have, and there's nothing wrong. It says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desire of your heart. So if it's not a yellow and it's not a red and you're not asking amiss, keep going. Ask. Amen. Amen. This is all about hearing from God. You know, sometimes we think everything is we have to hear something from him. And sometimes he's looking at us and say, what do you want? What do you want? You know, when I think about all that's been sown by this ministry, there's things that I know Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton did, and there's things that we've done where we've just purposed, we said, we want to be a blessing. Am I right? Yeah. This wasn't something that God said, thus saith the Lord, we want you to give X. There are times God does that. But then there's times you just say, you know what? We're in a position to do that. We want to bless them. You decide. You purpose in your heart. Individually or the ministry can do that. And God still blesses that. Amen. It's seed sown because we did it in faith. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to just hit these here for a moment. These are three ways that we hear from God, and we'll pick up on this a little bit next week. And three ways that we hear from God. We hear by the inward witness. And you can turn over to Romans chapter 8. But we hear him by the inward witness. And then we also hear him by our spirit. You know, your spirit has a voice. You are a spirit. You live in this body and you have a soul. But your spirit has a voice. So you hear God by the inward, still small voice, because your spirit picks up or hears what the Spirit of God is saying. So it's a still small voice. And if you're busy and you're constantly busy with all of this stuff going on, you miss it. You don't hear his still small voice. You don't hear your spirit speaking. And then the third way is we hear the audible voice of God. I've experienced that. Many have not. But the Spirit of God will speak audibly. And you think it's somebody speaking in the room. I'm not talking about a still small voice. I'm talking about an authoritative voice that speaks. But it's really on the inside. But it's that loud. And those are three ways that we hear. And we can look at accounts. But let's start with Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 14. And see, I'm looking at all of this in the light of John 16, that he has yet many things to say to us. And we need to be more sensitive in these three areas: being led by the inward witness, hearing the still small voice, and the audible voice. Well, you won't make a mistake there. You'll know who's speaking. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, "But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit itself, he's a person, so that's just an old English way. Most of the modern translations say himself, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So this witness that we have, he bears witness, this is a perception, an impression, an awareness. We all have this inward knowing. We were talking about before, a yellow light, red light. There's an inward witness. The best way that I could explain this, and we were sharing this last on the last lessons, is that it's an inward peace. Let me read this in verse 16. Romans 8, 16, when it says here, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God, or children of God." Let me read from some of the other modern translations. The Complete Jewish Bible says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirits." See, this is the Way translation. It says, "The Spirit himself bears witness along with our own spirits. See, this is a co-witness. He bears witness with our spirit, along with our spirit. Because he lives in us, it's our spirit that's really, along with his spirit, that bears witness. Here's another one. This is the Knox translation. It says, the Spirit himself thus assures our spirit. See, it's the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit. But it's your spirit that gives you that green light, red light. Right. He assures, or he's witnessing to your spirit. Does that make sense? Because who's the real you? It's your spirit. But he lives in you. See? The more you talk about this, the more real it becomes. The more you become, more you recognize that inward witness. The more you recognize, you say, it just doesn't feel right. What does that mean to you? Who is the real you? When something doesn't feel right, you know, I was sharing this recently, I've become more aware. Brother Hagin used to say it this way, become more God inside minded. Meaning that means every time you go to make a choice, you want to keep going, do something, look on the inside. What do I mean by that? Be aware. When you go to make a choice, and you're moving in this direction, how does it feel? Does it feel all right? Or do you just have this uneasy feeling? I'm telling you, every choice we make, we can be led this way. I know we had put together, the Women's Fellowship Group ministry had put together some baskets, and we all participated. We donated towards that to send some pies out to the local community, you know, police department, fire department, ambulance, Salvation Army, so forth. And the last delivery was to the fire department. And they gave us a window that they would be there to receive the delivery. And it said between 5:30 and 7. Well, I got up at 5:30 to go. I was at home. I was going to come over here, get the pies and the baskets and deliver them. Just said, nah, not yet. Don't go. And I just sat down at home and just kept doing what I was doing. And I kept looking on the inside. I kept saying, is it time to go? You know what I mean? In other words, you put your thought on getting up to go, what? Green light, to go. And it was like, nah, not yet. Now, I had this window. So around 6:15, 6:20, it's time to go. Just felt right. Get up and go. I'm giving you some real life examples. You may have something different. But he doesn't want us to be frustrated in life and be sitting there going, where are they? Man, I wasted my time. No, I didn't waste my time. Because my time is valuable and God knows that. And he knows you. See, he knows you. How you be. You know how we be sometimes. So anyways, I get the pies, I get in the truck, I come over, and guess what? Nobody's at the fire department. Nobody's there. Lights out. 6:25. 6:26, I pull up, and the train had just pulled in over here on Prospect Street. And, you know, like buses and trains, so they get this whole train. Now there's a parade of cars, and I'm sitting there going, okay, so we're going to wait for 50 cars to go by or whatever, at least that many. So I pull into the post office, and just as I'm sitting there, the fire chief truck goes by. I said, there he is. Great. I didn't wait maybe 2 minutes. So I get a break. I pull in. He went in, all the lights out, doors locked. And I'm going, where'd he go? All the doors locked, no buzzers or anything. And I went, okay, God, just don't get nervous here. Just hold steady. And I said, well, if I can't get in, I'll deliver him tomorrow. This is my thought. I'm telling you, less than a minute, another fire chief truck pulls up right behind me. Unloaded them out. God bless you. Bless the Lord. Out of there. Never spent more than 5 minutes. See, but the key was I didn't leave home when I was supposed to. See, listen, be led. That inward witness. When it just, and here's the thing, you'll become more sensitive to that the more, as we talked about it, what is that? It's an inward peace. You'll know that it just doesn't feel right to do this. Now, we're going to make some mistakes as we go along the way, but the more you follow, when you get some victories and you go, yes, sir, you're going to become more accurate with his leadings. He wants to show us things to come. He wants to reveal things, and it's going to become important in these days that our fellowship and our communion with the Holy Ghost becomes more intimate, more enhanced. Would you say amen? Because he wants to reveal things to us, not just in a personal way, but in this ministry. And he wants to bring us up to another level in our intimacy with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we can do it. We can get there. You getting anything? A little something. This is the Amplified, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we're the children of God. It's a co-witness. It's not just him witnessing. He's witnessing to our spirit and assuring us that we're the children of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just finish reading these. 1 John 2:20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know. Why? Because you have him in you. You have an unction. You have an anointing, his anointing, residing in you. Glory to God. Now, we're going to keep meditating on this. Keep focusing on this until this becomes real. What did Jesus say? I am the way. I am the truth. And what? And I am the life. No man cometh unto me but by, unto the Father but by me. I like what some translations say. It says, I am the way. They say, I am the road. See, there's no other road to heaven. There's no other road to the Father except by him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's say that as we get ready to close. I have an unction by the Holy One. I have his anointing residing in me. And I know all things. How do we know all things? It says we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So he's revealing. And we ought to make that part of our daily words that we speak. I've been delivered out of darkness. That means I've been delivered from not knowing. And that couldn't you say that? I've been delivered from not knowing. I've been delivered into the kingdom of his dear son. Therefore, I know all things. By his spirit, he's revealing to me things I need to know. You know, when we look at society and life today, things are becoming such that you better hear his voice. You better know what to get involved in and not get involved in. You better know. And if it doesn't feel right in your spirit, stop. Don't move forward. Don't look at it. Don't listen to it. Don't entertain it. Don't participate in it. Don't go there. Don't do it. Why? I don't know why. If he doesn't tell you, it's none of my business. All I need to know is, like a child, follow him. Don't do it. Amen. That's all. Amen. It's not complicated. Amen. You know, these things, if you're doing, if you know, this to us is the more we meditate upon this, it becomes more tangible to us in our life. And I'll say this, that one way that we can stir up the gift of God in us is to pray more in the Spirit. Pray more in the Holy Ghost. Because when we do, you're stirring up the gift of God within you. You stir up his presence in you. And where his presence is, there's peace. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Master Ed, Jesus also said, Jesus also said in John the 10th chapter that my sheep hear my voice and know my voice, and another they will not.
Yeah, they will not follow.
Right. He says, as a matter of fact, when they hear another voice, they'll run, the sheep will run from it. And I've seen that to happen. We were in Israel one time, and I guess I had never thought about it up to that point, about how, what they did with all those sheep out in the field at night. You know, I thought, you mean all these people taking the sheep back home and bringing them back out tomorrow morning, and that wasn't it. One of the fellows that was taking us around, he said, you see all those sheep in there? He says, all the shepherds put their sheep in that pen at night. And he says, now I watch as they're taking them out this morning. He says, even though some of those sheep are going to have the same name, he said, but only the sheep that belongs to that shepherd will respond to his voice and come out. He said, so you just watch it. He said, they're just going there in the morning and call out their sheep by name. And because the name, because the voice is familiar to them, you know, they know who to follow. They will not follow another shepherd.
Right.
Okay. I don't care if there are 22 Sarahs in there and the 22 Edwards. You know, it's the voice of the shepherd that's going to attract me, not just being called by my name.
Right.
Okay, and that's a very important piece, because there are certain voices that we hear we are supposed to ignore and we're supposed to run away from. Right. As Jesus said we should.
Right. Right. You know, what Pastor Sarah was sharing kind of reminded me. I saw something, I forget now who posted it on Facebook, somebody I'm friends with, but they showed this little video clip of sheep in a pasture. And it must have been 200-300 of them out there. They all had their head down munching, right? Little kid goes up, makes some noise, and like, boop, 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 boop. They're still munch, 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 munch. Another kid comes up, says something, still got their head down. But the shepherd got up, made a few little whoop, whoop, and all of them, heads raised up, and they all moved to him. Must have been 200-300 of them. It's amazing to watch. They respond to his voice. And they just didn't lift their head up. He made some sounds, and they moved to him, all of them. So again, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we know him. We know his voice. We know the inward witness. We know the still small voice of our spirit. And we know him. And we need to continue to say that every day. I know you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being real to me today. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you for revealing what I need to know today. Make that choice going forward. If you haven't been doing it, start doing it. If you haven't been doing it enough, pick it up and start it again. He desires to show us many things. Do you ever think about this? We'll close with this statement. Do you ever think about this? You ask yourself, why does God seem to be using that person all the time? Because it just might be. They're not special. It just might be that the relationship that they have is more intimate. And he speaks to them and they obey. They hear him and obey. Because God is going to get his things done that he needs to get done. And he'll use those who listen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you get a little something?
Yes.
You don't have to clap. You know what I say? Obey. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And do it. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. For we hear your voice. We know you. We thank you for guiding us in the affairs of life. Thank you for living within us. Thank you for being so real to us. Thank you for your presence is so sweet and real. And we thank you, Father, that the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. And we thank you, Father, that yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. You guide us and direct us every step of the way. We thank you that as we follow you, you will lead us into victory. You will lead us out of sickness into health. You will lead us out of poverty into wealth. You will lead us out of frustration into faith. And we thank you. We bless you. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I know, I'll just say it this way. I know that I know there are some here, maybe not all. We all have not arrived. And even if you think you have, that's the first indicator that you haven't. if you think you got there, you haven't. Because there's so much to learn about the ways of the Spirit. And there's many things that he wants to reveal and show to us. When you think about Ephesians chapter 1, said that he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. How many have had their eyes enlightened to the maximum? Mine have, but I want more. the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know. I may know, I may know, I may know what is the hope of his calling. And what are the riches of the glory? How many have a full understanding of the riches of the glory? There's more to learn. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to whom believe? We're learning and growing. Hallelujah. God reveals where much is revealed, much is required. And I believe that because he wants to show us more, and he spent 24 years here at this ministry working through those sharing the word of God to build this foundation, because of what's going to be built on top. Well, what's going to be built on top has to be revealed. And we have to be sensitive to him so that we hear and obey. Glory to God. Bless God. Father, we thank you today. So good to us. So good to us, O God. Thank you that the people are coming, the money is coming. Thank you for the souls that don't know that you're such a good God. And Father, we make ourselves available. We say yes to your ways, yes to your will. We say yes to your direction, wherever they may take us. In Jesus' name, amen.